easy, 'cause I want you, baby. But you don't, so get out, get out, get out, get out.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hello. Welcome to Date Fails. What's up, everybody?
Hey, Kate. I've been gone, and now I'm back hanging out today.
Yeah, everyone. Stephen Kramer Glickman is here today. What's up?
What's up, Kate?
I'm Kate Quigley. We've both been so busy that we've been not doing every episode together lately, and I've missed you.
I've missed you too, Kate. Yeah. I've missed you too. And there will be more episodes that you will do without me, and there will be more episodes that we will do together.
It's like my love life. Sometimes there's someone in it. Sometimes I'm going solo.
I understand that.
It's always
totally
an adventure. Yeah.
I'm coming out with a new podcast through Sideshow Network called the Nighttime Show Podcast.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's going to be very exciting.
Are you going to, now your nighttime show, which by the way is a big hit if you're in LA, a monthly show here at the Hollywood Improv now.
Our next show is March 19th.
Are you going to record those for the podcast? Or?
That's the hope, is that we'll be recording them for the podcast as
I
well.
I like that.
But we're going to do like a weekly show out of the place, and it'll be good and weird, and got some weird guests lined up. It'll be a lot of weird stuff.
I think that you should record it first thing in the morning, just because it's called the nighttime show, just to create a juxtaposition.
Just like 8 o'clock in the morning.
No, earlier. Like make them get up at like 5:30. Like have it at 6 a.m.
I don't know if Maria wants to come in that early.
Don't you feel though? Like, do you ever wake up? Like sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night to pee. Well, I call 5 a.m. the middle of the night to pee, and then I just suddenly start tweeting off like the craziest shit that's really funny. And I just feel maybe that's because my, like, I'm not fully there. So it's my subconscious jokes.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I wish that I could tape the show at like 2 o'clock in the morning in this room with everybody and just be just drunk and fun.
Maybe we can make that happen.
Who knows?
What's the date? It's February still. Did you have a good Valentine's Day?
You know what? We had a weird Valentine's Day.
Why?
You know what? It proved to me that this is going to sound really cheesy, but it proved to me that my relationship works. Like that's what it did. It was our fifth Valentine's Day, and I did everything wrong. I said, "Oh my God, it feels like we've been together a million years," which you're not supposed to say to a girl.
Yeah, no, that's not good
on Valentine's
Day.
That's
not good.
But I made like a huge mistake. I got us booked for a premiere of a movie, called Cabin Fever. You know this? Uh-huh. Remember the old movie Cabin Fever?
No.
Okay. Well, there was an old movie called Cabin Fever, came out like 10 years ago, and they made a new one. And so I got us into the premiere to do like a red carpet premiere. I was like, that's fun on Valentine's Day. We get there. Turns out they lied. It was not a premiere. It was a screening.
I knew it.
By OKCupid.
No.
OKCupid did a screening.
So it was like a singles night.
Yeah, it was a singles night in a movie theater.
And that's like one of those things where they go out on Hollywood Boulevard and they give out the free tickets and they make it sound like it's a premiere, but it's actually just you show up to see a free movie.
Oh, yeah. And there was a red carpet and it just said OKCupid all over it.
Oh,
and my girlfriend was in a gown with jewels on.
Oh, hilarious.
She looked gorgeous and she was not pleased. But you know what we did? We left there. We went down the street to the Arclight and we watched Deadpool.
Okay.
Together,
all right.
Which
I like that.
Was like a really was super cool
that
for her
is
to
good.
Do that in a giant like gown. She's in a gown sitting in the movie theater.
That's kind of cute,
right? And then we went from there to we drove around town. We're driving around and we see there's a red carpet next to the Laugh Factory at that place.
The deli.
Not the deli. The really fancy club that's like a block.
Sky Bar. Look, I don't, I don't go to clubs.
There's a fancy club.
The Comedy Store.
Yes. No, there's like a fancy club a block away from the Laugh Factory. Okay. And it was for the Nielsens, like the
I've heard of it.
The ratings.
Yeah, the ratings. Yep.
So they had their huge, giant like party there for the Grammys. Hmm. So we snuck in to the party and like had a fucking great time.
Well, that's perfect because she looked dressed for a Grammy party. So it just worked. What
and
were you?
I was in a suit.
You were in a suit?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we walked in there. We did that. And then we went for dinner at Chateau Marmont together.
I didn't know Pink Dolphin made suits. That's crazy. fancy. That's fantastic.
Listen, it was a velvet suit, okay? But it was a suit nonetheless.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm glad that you had a good Valentine's
Day. So it was good. It's like we rolled out together. We were like, fuck it. If it's not going to work, let's find another way to make this work. And that was really nice. What about you? What did you do on Valentine's Day?
I was in Las Vegas. I was playing the Laugh Factory. So I was working that night. But it was really fun. Actually, I was with Dom Herrera, who I adore.
I love him.
Adore. And he took me out to dinner. Actually, me and my girlfriend who came to visit me, Ariel, who's been on the podcast. He took us both out to dinner. It was really fun. We took a great photo together. And then actually it ended up after the show, Harry, the guy who books the Las Vegas, Harry Basil, who's a comic also.
Yeah, amazing comic.
Yeah, amazing comic. He has a thing in the green room called Harryoke, which is like basically a karaoke party. They invite all the comics that are in Vegas to come and hang out. And you know who was there? It was actually like fucking cool because we were singing karaoke and in come these buddies of Dom's who used to tour with him when he used to open for Cher on the road.
Holy
and
crap.
It's this guy Hugh who's the bass player from Bon Jovi and Dave Amato who was the lead guitarist for REO Speedwagon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so these dudes come upstairs like, "Dom, what's up?" And like they were the coolest guys there. It turns out they're performing in a show called Rock Vault downstairs in the casino. So it was like karaoke with these aging rockers, which was amazing.
That's amazing.
And Dom Herrera. And then also, what's the lady's name? Marsha Warfield?
Marcia, oh, yeah.
From Night Court?
From Night Court?
She was there. It was like, I just felt like I was in a scene from a movie. I was like, this is amazing. Just listening to them all talk. They were telling stories about when they were on the road with Cher and just
holy
like
shit.
Rodney Dangerfield stories. They were all buddies with Rodney. And
that's
it was just
so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So that was like better for me than like a romantic night out. I was like, this is awesome.
That's great. You know, it's I love those nights where the people that are in the room are bigger cameos than we could ever afford to have.
100%.
You know, you're like, what? How the hell did we get this guy from REO Speedwagon and the guy from Bon Jovi and the lady from Night Court to show up at the same place? You can't do that. That's just life.
Yeah,
we'll
have to actually talk about it when we bring our guest on because the guy from REO Speedwagon, I kind of was like, he's kind of cute, but he's like 60. But he was kind of cute and he was kind of flirting with me. And I could tell that he was totally flirting with me. And then a couple of people in the room even mentioned it, like, because they were there all week. They kept coming back.
Yeah.
And a couple of people were like, you know, you should go out with him. He's a great catch. And I was in my head like, could I date a 60-year-old? Like, that's like my new thing. I'm like, how old would I go? I'm not sure.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll have to bring our guest on.
Depends on how big the house is. That's what I've always said.
I mean, I'm sure he's doing all right. You know?
Date an 80-year-old if she has I'm just kidding.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
I've had some weird ones, though. Would you like to introduce our guest? It's up to you.
I do, but now my brain is thinking about you and like 80-year-old vagina, which is disgusting.
Oh, no.
You just
I've never been with an 80-year-old woman. The oldest I ever went was
75.
70. Well, she was like 79,
oh,
but that's a different story.
Oh, Christ. All right, let's move on from this before I vomit on the microphone. I'm really excited about our guest. First of all, she looks adorable. I wish I could. She's dressed very 80s in like very bright leggings and a purple scarf and a really cute off-the-shoulder t-shirt, and she's been on Girl Code on MTV and Last Comic Standing. She's a hilarious comedian. Esther Koo, everyone!
Esther Koo!
Hey, you guys. What's going on?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Stephen Kramer Glickman?
I'm so happy to see you.
Kate Quigley?
I'm great. How are you? You're in town for how long?
I'm good. Till tomorrow, but maybe I'll just stay the week.
Are you staying at the Korean spa?
Yes.
Are you really?
Are you really staying in a Korean spa?
I talked about this on the podcast. I was like, I have this friend who told me when she comes to town, she just crashes at the Korean spa.
What does
that
mean?
And it was Esther.
You can sleep there. They have heated floors and mats and blankets and pillows, and people just go and sleep there.
It's like $25. It's $25 for like a 24-hour pass. You can use all the different rooms and you can sleep there. They have Wi-Fi. But aren't you scared?
Where is the Korean spa that this happens at?
It's in Koreatown. There's like, LA is the headquarters of Korean spas in the United States.
Okay.
So you have your choice of like 3 or 4 different spas that are open 24 hours a day.
Whoa. So can you lay on a bed or are you sleeping on the floor?
No, you're sleeping on the floor, but in Korea, people sleep on the floor, you know?
Got it.
So
sure.
It's like, it's not weird for us. Like, you guys look at us like, why would you sleep on the floor? But I look at you guys like, why would you sleep on a soft bed that messes your back up?
Oh,
you know, because sleeping on the floor straightens your back.
I didn't know they slept on the floor in Korea.
Not everybody. I mean, like, you know, it's kind of more a thing of the past, but that's why it's cool to go to these spas, or they call them jimjilbangs in Korea.
Ah.
So you go when it's like super cold out, especially, and you go and warm up, and they have like these little igloo huts full of like salt, Himalayan salt rocks or clay balls, and you lay, it's like, you know, it's like Chuck E. Cheese, like a bunch of balls in there, but they're made of clay and they're tiny and they heat up your body.
Whoa.
It's supposed to be really good for
that sounds
you.
Cool. I kind of want to go.
You should go. It's
that.
So
yeah, you
fun.
Don't have to sleep there. You could just go right now if you want.
Wow.
And it's open all night.
Yeah.
You can go all night. It's like $12 if you don't stay the night.
No, it's $35.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, if you stay the night.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what
can
I'm saying.
Can you get massages there too? Do they give you massages?
Yeah,
or no?
But you know what? I hate Korean massages. Like, I like Chinese and Thai massages.
What's the difference?
Because Koreans, they'll just beat you up. Like, they will just... just take out their anger and the Korean War and frustration on your back and knees and, you know, your butt, everything. But Chinese and Thai masseuses are like so gentle. They're more therapeutic. They know the body. They're spiritual, you know, whereas Koreans are just fucking pissed off.
You know, I believe it, because when I went to the Korean spa, my friend took me for my birthday and I'd never been there before. And I bought a salt scrub and I swear to God, I felt like I was going to leave with no skin. Like, they scrubbed me so hard. It was like painful. Like, it hurt. And they get every nook and cranny.
They'll slap you up a little bit. I went to one Korean massage and the guy kept slapping me on my temples.
What?
On my forehead and on my temples.
Slapping you.
No,
I'd be like,
for real.
Why
like,
are you
I,
slapping me in the face?
I got a Korean massage and I felt like I just got in a fight with this woman.
No way.
Yes. Like, I walk out of there thinking, why did I sit through this whole entire massage? I feel horrible right now.
And then they take your money.
Yeah.
So then you're like, I've been beat up and they robbed me.
Yeah.
Wait a second. But do you ever feel like, do you ever say anything? Because I'm too nice. Like, I never say anything.
Yeah. But you know what? From now on, I am going to say something.
You should.
Because why should I be walking out of a massage feeling worse than I did walking in?
It's a tricky thing, because there are massage places all over Los Angeles. Like, all, you know, the place
and
is covered in them.
They're cheap out
and
here.
They're very cheap.
Because there's so many goddamn Asians.
Well, oh, Esther Koo. I went to one and the lady was massaging my butt and her hand went right into the butthole. She went.
She went hand to butthole,
and I went. What?
Were you hard? She was trying to make you hard, probably.
I was laying on my stomach, and I went. Whoa! I did that.
You did?
And she went. She went. You know? Are you sure? You know, and I
was
like, no. I was like, butthole is a no-no. Back massage, not butt massage.
I bet
it totally freaked me out.
She was trying to get you to order a happy ending.
I don't know. Maybe.
Don't you think?
I don't know. It totally caught me off guard.
Yeah, because then that would just add on $30 to it, you know?
Is that all it costs?
I have no idea.
She was trying to upcharge me?
She's probably trying to add, you know, do an add-on item.
I don't know. My girlfriend was in the next... We went together. So my girlfriend was in the next room. And then afterwards, she was like, what happened? And I was like, the masseuse tried to stick her finger in my ass.
She was
like, what the fuck is going on in that place?
Yeah, and they don't have rooms where you could both get a massage at the same time.
No,
they don't have couples. The idea of like couples massage is so foreign to them.
Yeah.
That, like, we need to teach them. Like, dude, Westerners like couples massages.
Right.
Like, put two beds in one room, you idiots.
Definitely. Yeah. I wonder if they have a thing there, like, if they're being watched. You know, like, telemarketers are supposed to ask you 3 times before they hang up. Like, I wonder if they're supposed to upcharge you or they lose your job. Like, if you don't stick a finger in that guy's butthole, you're out the door.
Jeez.
This is your last massage.
It's a possibility.
I mean, that's what I would do if I owned the massage parlor.
You know what's sad is I told a friend of mine that about what happened, and he went there.
For that
to happen to him.
I know.
And then it didn't happen to him, and he called me and complained.
I love those guys who can admit that they like a finger up their ass.
Yeah.
Right?
I love them.
Why not?
It's just like, okay, cool. You're honest and you're frank and you're, you know, like, you're not going to try to hide anything from me. It's those guys who can't admit they don't like the finger up the ass. There's something that they're hiding.
Yeah.
Those like guys. Stephen Kramer Glickman.
Wait, she was old and Shrek. She had a wrinkly finger.
You would have liked it if it was a young, hot, like if it was an Esther Koo type.
Listen, if it was an Esther Koo type, it's a whole different, this different podcast could go a whole different way.
So wait a second. So do you think all guys like a finger up the butt and the ones that won't admit it are just lying?
Well, I mean, don't they say the male G-spot is in the butthole?
That's what they say.
And don't you like it when somebody has a finger up your butthole?
I like all kinds of butt things.
Yeah, I mean, it's
are you a butt person, Kate?
Well, I'm not.
Talk about butt
we
stuff?
We never did. I don't do anal sex just because like it kind of grosses me out and stuff. But like I like other things around.
But like
the
a
butt.
Finger, a thumb in the butt yeah. while you're getting fucked from behind. You know, never hurt anybody.
A tongue.
Wow. All right, Esther Koo.
If you can't, if you don't eat ass, I can't date you.
Whoa, you like that?
Yeah.
No way.
You don't.
I mean, I could take it or leave it. It's not like I look forward to getting my ass eaten.
I do. I
you
love
do?
It. Yeah,
why?
I really do love it. I don't know. There's something. First of all, it feels amazing. It feels so good. And there's just like something really hot about a guy that will do it. Because you know what it is? It's like the same guys who eat ass are the guys who will kiss you after you blow them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just they're like so like just into your body. They don't give a fuck about like anything that might be like.
That's 100% true.
And I like that.
All the liquids kind of converge together. He doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't. He doesn't care. What about you, Esther? Are you into that? Are you
into getting my butt eaten?
Yeah. No, are you a butt person?
I mean
are you a butt person?
I am.
This is the sexiest thing I've ever said.
This is the dirtiest podcast.
Esther Koo, are you a butt person?
I am a butt person. I love butts. Like I care more about the butt than the dick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, so do I.
Don't you love
absolutely.
A good butt?
Yes. There's nothing worse than like a flat. Well, it's just like with women. I feel like butts are earned. Like, you don't have a nice butt by accident. If you have a nice butt, you probably have a nice body because that means that you, like, work out. Because if you don't work out,
totally.
You're not going to have a nice ass.
You know
That's
what?
True.
Your ass comes from working at it.
Right.
You can't just, like, wake up and have a great... You're not born with a great ass.
Exactly.
You have to squat and yes. stretch and do all those, you know?
It's earned. It's yeah. like you can buy...
Burpees.
Burpees. Exactly. No, I love a great ass. I also like really, I realized recently how into arms I am. I'm into guys with like big arms because when I like some grabbing onto them.
Really? I like a guy with skinny arms.
Really?
You do?
Yeah. I hate big arms.
Interesting.
It's just like, it gets in the way. Like if somebody who has big arms is sitting next to me on a plane, I want to fucking just like switch seats.
Yeah.
Like they get in the way. I'm like, dude, I know my arms aren't that big, but my arms should have the liberty to like, you know, go up and down or do... The
right.
chicken dance, you know, just have the
do
freedom.
The chicken dance.
Just have the sure. freedom to move if I wanted to.
Sure.
So we're building your ideal man. So far it's nice, firm, tight ass, small arms.
Small arms.
That's what we.
Well,
what about hair
color? It could even be a funny ass. It doesn't even have to be tight. Like,
okay. It could just be a funny ass.
Funny?
If I could like jiggle it and it, you know, uh-huh. and it's flabby, I could laugh at it. Then there's some value in that.
I see that.
What
I
about
get
hairy?
That.
Hairy?
Hairy? I don't like hairy butts. Yeah.
No.
I've waxed. One time I waxed a boyfriend's butt crack.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
How does
because
that happen?
Because his butt cheeks were bare, but in the middle was like this line of fur. And it just looked so funny because he was like, you know, his butt cheeks had zero hair. And all of a sudden in the crack is like super furry. So I was like, you know what? We're going to wax your butt crack.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
So yeah. So our gay friend like held his butt cheeks down and then I poured the wax and I pulled the hair out.
Holy shit. That's amazing.
Yeah. And he was screaming through the whole thing. It was like our roommate at the time hated us. It was like, what the fuck were you guys doing last night?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I can't believe
jinx.
I know.
I'm jinx
I can't imagine any guy. First of all, I honestly can't imagine any guy who's straight letting a gay guy like
he wore eyeliner and he was a musician.
Oh, so he was
yeah.
I see. He was maybe swinging both
straight-ish.
Ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you think was he bi?
No. I mean, he's like married now to a girl. You know.
Uh huh.
So I don't maybe. No, I think he was just more sensitive, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's amazing. This is an amazing reveal.
I can't believe a guy let you wax his asshole.
You know what? I just like removing hair. Like, it's...
You know what? My girlfriend shaves my back. my arms from here up, my ass, the whole
it?
Shaves everything.
But then don't you get like stubbly?
No, it doesn't.
Why don't you laser?
I don't know. Laser. I probably should.
No, you should wax.
I keep my chest. My chest has hair on it, but that's it. That's it. Everything else is.
I'm addicted to laser. I love laser. And actually, I'm not going to lie. I get a little like turned on when I go to get laser.
Really?
Yeah, because it's weird. It's this weird thing. Well, first of all, I get Brazilian, you know, so I get everything down there.
Everything's
laser,
gone.
Everything. Yeah. And the laser, it does this thing where it like shoots you with the laser and it's super hot, like burns you hot. But then right after it follows up with like super ice cold to cool it back down. So it's this weird, like kind of hurts, but kind of feels good the whole time.
Wow.
And then my laser girl, I mean, I'm not a lesbian, but she's kind of hot and she has a great personality. So like,
jeez.
And she's already seen your coochie, like,
and she compliments
eagle.
It. Right.
Does she? What does she say?
She's really sweet. Like every time I come in, she like tells me how great my body is. And like how nice, like that I have a nice vagina. Like she says, I have nice labia.
Oh,
that's great. You're so lucky.
I guess.
I've heard girls can have, you know,
rough.
She probably says that to all the girls.
No, no, you're assuming that you have nice labia. I'm sure you do.
Maybe.
We're going to go to the spa later.
Yeah, we should.
And show each other. Because I've been told I have nice labia too.
You have?
Yeah. Like
we don't have to go to the spa. We can do it right here.
Oh, okay.
Let's just do it right now.
Let's get rid of Shrek first.
This is going to be a great photo with this episode of the podcast.
Just both of you naked and me in the center with a blindfold on.
No, like I've heard girls get surgery to sort of trim their labia, and I would be devastated if I had to do that. Mine is like super short. You know what I mean? Like there's no curtain, there's no beef curtains hanging.
Wow.
Do you have
no.
curtains? See, we're lucky, man.
You guys are lucky.
I read an article by Nikki Glaser. She talked about how insecure she is about her droopy vagina.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Like, it was in Cosmo.
It's like a wind tunnel over there. It's very sad.
It's
I'm not.
Sorry, Nikki.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Nikki. I really apologize.
Oh my god!
It's like bed sheets just hanging.
It's just awful.
Yeah. So I didn't realize how nice of a vagina I had.
I see.
Until more recently, you know, when you're younger, you don't realize like how nice it. You just assume everybody has a nice vagina.
You know, you're right. Do you remember the first time you looked at it? Because it wasn't until I was like 25 or so that I ever took a mirror and like checked it out. Like I didn't even know what it looked like.
Yeah, I didn't know how to put a tampon in until college.
Me too. Until I was 8. The first time I did it, I was 18.
Right.
I never did it.
Well, because we're Midwestern girls.
That's why. My mom was like, tampons are dirty. Don't use those.
Really?
Yeah, my mom was like, well, my mom has come a long way. Now she's very liberal and has tattoos and like dyed her hair blue. But she used to be like, before she got therapy, she was like really, really strict. And she was like, yeah, don't, you know, I don't want you using tampons. You shouldn't use tampons until you have sex. And she's like, you know, tampons are dirty. Like she thought they were bad for you.
Because they break your hymen. So technically you're not a virgin anymore.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Little did she know.
And I was supposed to be like they were preserving my virginity to like sell it off to some dude who's gonna like ship them in from Korea.
No way.
Yeah, I was supposed to get an arranged marriage.
Are your parents, your parents are second, wait, are you second generation?
Yeah, I'm second generation. So my parents moved here from Korea. And, you know, they move here thinking I'm going to raise my family in the United States, but they're still going to hold on to the old Korean values.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, no, no, no. I don't want to marry some Korean guy that you ship in who I don't fucking know.
That's crazy.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
When did you...
Fascinating.
When did you tell them, like, I'm not doing that? Like, when did that change?
I left the church when I was, like, 17.
Wow.
And was like, I am out of here. I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to give my virginity to some random frat boy in college, you know?
How did your parents react to that? How were they?
They could kind of care less. Like, the church cared more than they did.
Oh, I see.
Really? How so?
Yeah, because they were just really manipulative, and it was all about mind control. And
the church?
The church, yeah.
Which church?
It was called University Bible Fellowship.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's basically a cult. It's a Christian evangelical church.
Wow. Where was this?
In Chicago.
Oh, my God.
So I'm from Chicago. My parents, they moved to Chicago. And like they moved with like hundreds of other Koreans who became missionaries. and like would recruit these college kids, you know, and lonely college kids who are just going to school at Loyola, University of Chicago, UIC, whatever. And they're just, you know, walking by themselves. They look depressed and said, and then a little Korean missionary comes up to them and said, oh, have you met Jesus? You know, would you like to meet Jesus? And then they feed them like Korean home cooked Korean food. And then they keep coming back. That's the love bombing that you read about in psychology books, is you're constantly fed, you know, meals, and somebody's loving you. And maybe you come from a broken home and you don't have friends and you're lonely and you're by yourself in college and you're lost. And then they scoop you up.
That's how Scientology does it, too.
Yeah.
That's really?
It's intense.
Love bombing?
Yeah.
Serious.
They use
stuff.
Food to lure you in. And there's no dating in the church. Everybody gets an arranged marriage. So it's like, you can't, you're supposed to stay a virgin, you know? Or like if you came from a life of sin, which you obviously, with your blonde hair and your low cut dress. If you walked in to church, they would like put a shawl on you. They would like pass a coat like to the back of the church to be like, cover her up before she starts cooking all the men.
What? Whoa. Cooking?
Yeah, so they had their own language. Like cooking was like, you know, using the devil's, you know, temptations on men.
Whoa.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. It's crazy. And so you couldn't date. And so the pastor picked everybody who you were going to marry. So, but they would kind of like match them up based on like how attractive you were, you know?
Shut up.
That's weird.
Yeah. And so there were a couple hot girls in our church, like Carmen was like this hot Puerto Rican girl, and everybody wanted to marry Carmen.
Just because she's hot. That's it.
Well, yeah. But then of course you just, you know, you're supposed to like pretend like not cause she's hot, you know? Oh, right. please find me a perfect wife or a husband that you find suitable according to God's will, you know?
Oh, holy God. Cow.
Yeah.
And how old were you when this was happening?
I was, I was raised in it because my parents are founding members of the church. So I was a missionary kid.
That's so crazy that they were founding members of the church. But then when you left, they were like, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, when I left, they didn't really care because they were sort of half-assedly kind of in it themselves,
At that point.
You know? I mean, no, they weren't, but they didn't work as hard as some of the other members of the church did.
Wow. Sure.
Wow.
So then after you left and you were 17, then when did you start, because you hadn't dated anyone before that? Is that when you actually started dating?
Yeah, I know. Everybody in my high school had like boyfriends and I always wanted to like make out with somebody in high school.
You never did.
And I never did. Yeah. So I went to college and lost my virginity and started, you know, dating or I guess hooking up with guys. I mean, you don't really date in college, I feel like.
Well, that's so crazy. Well, I was married, so I don't even know.
You were married in college?
I was married in college.
What?
I got married when I was 19.
Oh my God.
That's how this show came about, because I'm so bad at dating because I never did it when I was like supposed to. So I'm just now starting to.
Oh, wow.
Now it's going really, it's fun.
Yeah, having you're
fun.
Killing it now,
killing
girl.
It lately.
You're doing the thing.
We'll talk about it. I don't know if I'd say killing it, but at least I'm like dating now. I never really did.
Yeah.
No. Because how long were you married for?
10 years.
Oh my God.
So I started dating
like
at 30.
Wife.
Yeah.
You were like a homemaker?
I was a wife. I was never a homemaker. Let's not get crazy. I was the worst wife. I mean, I was loyal. I never cheated on him, but I was the
hugest. But like you didn't know how to cook?
Oh, no. No. The reason I stayed with him for 10 years is because he did everything for me. Cooked,
really?
Cleaned, took care of me.
You got a sweet deal.
He was amazing. He was honestly amazing. It's just we should never have been married because we never had like the physical chemistry. Like we never had like the heat that you
So was sex kind of a chore?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Wow.
I feel like I never really knew what like amazing sex was until after.
Yeah.
I feel bad saying that, but it's the truth.
Does he listen? Don't feel
no,
bad.
No, he doesn't.
Then
but
don't
people
feel
do
bad.
Who know him, but like, I mean, he knows. I told him at the end.
You have to be honest. You know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I remember my ex saying to me at the end of the relationship, this is a quote. He said, if you want a guy who's going to like throw you up against the wall and fuck you, I'm not that guy. But if you want a guy who will treat you like a princess, I'm your man. And I was like, but princesses like walls too.
Princesses live in castles where there's walls.
I want both. So
yeah, but
sometimes
you
it's hard to find
that,
both because they can be mutually exclusive.
Yeah. I feel like I kind of found both recently, but All right. Well, I really want to talk about you, but I'll bring this up because it's a fascinating topic. You can weigh in on it. So when I was in Vegas for the AVN Awards, I met a porn actor who is a really cool guy. We hung out a little bit.
You're going to date a porn star?
That's the question. I don't know if I can. I don't know. This is the thing. We hung out a little bit. He's a really nice guy. We didn't hook up there or anything like that at all. Then I came back to LA. We actually went out a couple times.
And he was normal to you. It's not like you met him and you knew he was oozing porn star all over.
I didn't even know if he was a porn star. I was like, who's that guy? He's hot. And then they were like, oh, he's a porn actor. And then he wasn't just normal to me, though. Like, everyone who was there, all my friends who were there loved him. My manager loved him. Like, everyone was like, he's the nicest guy. And like, actually, I have a comic friend who used to be a PA in like porn, and he knows him. And he's like, oh, he's like the nicest, coolest dude. He's great. But the thing is, so we went out a couple times here in LA, still didn't hook up. And then when I was in Vegas, I can't believe I'm giving this away. When I was in Vegas for Valentine's Day week, he happened to be there also.
Mm-hmm.
So we
hooked up.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Now I have a major problem, because if he was just a guy I was just going to fuck.
Right.
I mean, like,
wait, did you fuck him?
I mean, when I say if like fucking were an Olympic sport, this guy would be the Michael Phelps of
sex. No way.
It was like legitimately like crazy.
Describe it. What did he do?
I mean, I can't. Oh my God.
You can describe it.
Okay.
We talked about Esther Koo's asshole.
Okay. So I'll say this. I had a couple drinks. He came back with me. And he came out. He bought like drinks for like everybody there. It was so sweet. And then he came back to my room. We hooked up. But here's the best part. He had to work in the morning. So like, he actually couldn't, you know, he couldn't come because he had to save it. But we still fucked for 2 hours.
Holy shit.
The guy is like a fucking machine. I don't know how he did it. It was mind-blowing.
And he didn't mind not coming? Didn't he have blue balls?
I didn't think we were going to have sex at all because he had to work in the morning. So I was like, I told my friends that day, I go, I'm not fucking him no matter what happens. But then like one thing led to another. And so anyway, so then that was like epic, 2 hour, amazing, whatever. And then he had to leave because he had to work in the morning. So he left, and then he texted me in the morning.
Phenomenal.
And he was like, hey, guess what? My shoot got canceled. Can I come over? And I was like, sure. So he came back over 2 more hours.
Wow.
It was like a sexathon. Like, I've never had.
But my vagina would get tired. I'd be like, can I take a break?
I mean, there was a time when I started to kind of, you know, girls do the thing where they're kind of like, oh, I wish you could come in me, or like come up. Like, I started to like hint at it because I literally like couldn't take that much more. But I mean, the guy is a pro.
Wow.
Wow.
So here's the thing, though. So we hook up, we have the sex. It's amazing. Then, you know, we go to breakfast, whatever. Then he leaves. And then since then, we actually have hung out a couple more times, but we haven't hooked up again because I can't decide what to do with him. Because if I could just have sex with him and have him as like a booty call guy, maybe.
That could work.
Yeah, but the problem is I actually kind of fucking like him. I mean, like, he's really nice and cool and sweet. There's nothing
wrong with kind of liking your booty call.
But the problem is, no, there is. For me, I can't do that. I have to either, it has to be literally just sex and I don't care about them at all. I mean, not at all, but like, it has to either be like so much just sex that if I don't hear from them in between, I don't care. If like, we don't have to be friends, it's just sex.
Well, look, you're doing a good thing. You're protecting your emotions, which is important,
right,
to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, that's a big decision. Dating an actual porn star,
right,
where you guys are, that's a whole thing. That's a big deal.
Calling him star, porn performer.
Yeah, he's not a star.
Is he a porn star? Like, is he a famous?
Well, I don't know.
How many movies has he been in?
A lot.
Has he been in more than 100 movies?
Have you watched any of his movies?
No. In fact, the other night I was watching porn and I heard his voice and I like shut it off really fast. because I didn't want to see it.
Yeah, because wow. You don't want to watch it.
No, absolutely not. And that's the thing is, like, you know, I thought that I could, I thought it wouldn't bother me. I was like, oh, I can be that cool girl who's like, it's just a job. I'm not going to let it bother me. And I thought I could let it not bother me, especially because the comic I'm friends with who's worked with them is like, Kate, it's literally like a job to them. Like, I've been on set and they're like looking at their watch, like while they're fucking the girl. Like, it's not. But then, like, the other day, you know, there was a couple days where I didn't hear from him and I knew he was working. And then it made me kind of in my head feel like, oh, well, of course I'm not hearing from him because he's like probably fucked 9 other chicks this weekend. And then I start to be like, I just can't decide. I can't decide. So
meanwhile, he's on set right now talking to other porn stars going like, I don't know if I could date this comedian. You know, she goes, she has this podcast and she's probably going to talk about my dick and, yeah, you know, how it couldn't come because, you know, so he, like, you guys might be in the same boat. Like, this might just be,
she's
over.
Really funny and she makes me laugh a lot.
I know that's not happening because, like,
she looks like a porn star, but she's not a porn star. So I don't know if, you know, if I should be trapping her in my world, you know,
what do you think? And then the girl's like, I think
I mean, that's the thing though, is that
that was a different guy's penis, by the way. That wasn't his
thanks.
Penis.
Yeah, Glickman, right.
No,
who cares? I mean, that's the, guy's this penis. Is the thing, is that the big benefits to actually dating him, if I were to do it, sure, is he's not jealous. He's like, he completely gets that, like, my social media is like an image, and it's like he gets all the things that guys usually have a problem with when they date me.
Sure.
Right, a more regular guy.
Right.
Yeah.
He gets all of that, and he's not jealous or anything.
He's not judgmental. Yeah. He's not like, stop putting your ass out there and your tits out there. You know,
exactly.
He gets it because he's in the same kind of industry.
Well, that's where it gets tricky. Is,
right.
Is then, yeah, of course he's okay with everything because
he's
way past whatever
everything.
You're doing.
Exactly.
Which is great until it's the other way around and you're like, and you know, if you you're dating him and then, you know, someone, you know, it tweets you a picture of him with a,
oh, you know, it already happened.
Yeah, and
it already happened.
That starts to get weird.
Not
that
tweeted
starts
it at me. But when I was at the Laugh Factory that night that we were all karaokeing, you know, they met him because he happened to be in Vegas and he like was hanging out with us at the Laugh Factory in the green room one night. And of course, like the next day, all the guys are like pulling up photos of him with like girls sucking his dick. Like they're showing me this stuff.
Sure.
And they're like, Kate, is this really what you, is this, they're like, you're a good girl. You're a sweet girl. You deserve, like, is this really what you want in your life? And I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, just fast forward a year. Let's say you fall in love with this guy.
Right.
Would it bother you? Like,
of
if
course.
Somebody. Yeah.
No, yeah. Or imagine, no. Like, I mean, I never want kids, but let's say, like, I had an accidental baby with him. Like, what's he going to do? I'm like, take your daughter to work day.
How does an accidental baby happen?
You know. Well, you get the point. Like, so anyway, I didn't mean to go
There's
off.
So many punchlines to that.
Oh, I've been
I'm
doing.
Just gonna leave it
I've
right
already
there.
I've been doing material on stage about dating him. I mean, there's so many jokes. Like, I never want to ask him about his day. I really don't.
Wow.
Like, how do I ask him? Like, how
okay,
was your day?
Okay, just use him. Just date him enough for the material. I say three months max. You got all your jokes. Right. Keep writing.
Yeah.
While he's next to you.
You know
sleeping.
What? Keep, if you can, keep it as a booty call.
It's
that's like
just
a
sex.
Fun. That's
yeah.
Like a fun booty
yeah,
call.
Yeah. And date on the side and try to find somebody to become more enmeshed with.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep an active rotation going while I'm hooking up. Well, we haven't hooked up since then. That's the other thing. And it's been a few weeks. We've hung out a couple of times, but it's like one night I had a super early morning. The next time he was sick. So we just like, it hasn't happened.
There was a girl that I used to sleep with before I was with my girlfriend who the sex was stupid. Like it mm-hmm. It was ridiculous and it was like, would go on for a long period of time. And she had, you know, fake breasts and mm-hmm. all sorts of fun parts, and we had and she was really fun. She had a fun accent, and we had like a great time together. But the second we would take it out of the bedroom, like the second we would leave her place and go anywhere, I'd be like, I don't know. It feels weird. Something's weird. I don't know if this is what. And there was like reasons for it, and mostly it was because her entire life was being paid for. Check this out. This is a weird date fail story. Her entire life was being paid for by a guy mm-hmm. who was 30 years older than us. He was like in his 60s. He lived across the street. up above her apartment. She had to keep her windows and blinds open so that he could look in on her place that he was paying for. He was paying for her rent, heating, electricity, everything, paying for her phone, paying for her car. And I was sleeping with her. We were having a great time. But then I'd be like, why are the windows always open? And then he'd be like, that's why we have to have sex in the other room, because he can watch, he can see me, and I'm supposed to be just...
You think he would have killed you if he ever found out?
He found out, like, later, and we've run into each other and had, like, awkward
shit. The guy?
But, yeah, he's an old, fat, like, 50, 60-year-old guy, and I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I fucked the girl that you were paying for her life, you know? Like, who cares? Like,
wow.
That was just... It was super uncomfortable. When I had, like, that was like how it kind of
went.
What
did he say to you?
He was like, he was trying to get into a nightclub that I was in. It was an event. I was at the event. He was trying to get in. I like let him in. I got them to let him in. And then he was like, yeah, that's cool. Thanks for letting me in. It's so weird that it would be you that would let me in. And I was like, look, I was like, I know that you're not still, you know, paying for that girl for her life and shit.
Her life. You're paying her life.
I was like, you're paying for her whole life. And he was like, I know that you like spend time with her. And I was like, we were sleeping together for like 2 years.
Right.
You know, and he was like, well, you know, I don't really appreciate that. And I was like,
was he married?
No, he was single, but he was kind of creepy and weird.
Well, obviously.
I was like, I'm not going to apologize for sleeping with a girl a lot, because it was fun and we had a great time, and that's just...
And he's so much older than you. If you guys got in a fight, you would just be able to knock him out.
He was short and fat and old.
Wait, were they?
He wasn't going to, like, there was no way he was going to start shit with me. I would have just beat him.
That's the worst, seeing some short, fat, old guy fucking the girl you like.
That's what I want to know. Were they fucking?
I don't even know if they were fucking. They might have fucked a couple times.
They had to have.
I'm curious. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Esther, have you ever been offered this? Because every once in a while, I will get an email or message on social media from some guy who will offer me a situation like that. Like, literally, like, it happened to me just the other day.
Yeah, and they just offer it like as if it's the most normal thing in the world. You're just like, oh, let me just sit down and write my emails, you know? It's just like, no, I wouldn't do that. Like, I have integrity. I work for a living. I make my own money. I don't need some guy paying for my life.
No,
like,
that's crazy.
I would just be fucking bored out of my mind. What would I do?
Oh, I can't imagine. Also, like,
fuck other dudes. Probably.
Well, yeah. But I mean, this is the thing too. Like,
awful.
I legitimately couldn't do it. Like, I went out on a date with a guy who has tons of money, and I just wasn't sexually attracted to him. And I was like, I could never kiss this guy. So that's the end of it. I mean, like, how could you fuck someone that you're grossed out by just for money? Like, I can't imagine it.
But a lot of girls want that. Or some girls want that.
But we live in the worst place in the world.
LA,
like, Los Angeles is like, that's every, there's so many people here that do that.
People
all
are desperate
time.
Here because they like want a career in show business, but it's so expensive to live here and it's so hard to make money. And like, people like there's not a day that goes by that I don't realize how lucky I am to make a living doing what I actually want to be doing. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
amazing.
It's so hard to do out here.
Right. We're so lucky.
Right.
Yeah.
We really are.
There's so many people who are wanting to do what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
Show. Oh, show.
So what about you and your dating life? What's going on over there?
What's
Missy?
Going on?
Are you single? Are you seeing someone? What's up?
I'm not single. I'm off the market.
What?
Shut up.
Yeah.
You got a man?
I got me a man.
Where's
Tell
he live?
Tell us about your man.
Well, I live in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do? Mm-hmm. They live in New York for some reason.
I know, right? I make it look like I live in New York. And then when I'm
so
in New York,
awesome.
Everybody's like, how's LA? I'm like, great.
That's so great.
So everyone in LA, everyone in New York thinks you live in LA. You have the best laugh, by the way.
Esther,
I sell it as a ringtone for $1.29.
Do you really?
On iTunes, called Coo Laugh.
Are you serious? I'm going to buy it right now.
I'm fucking serious. Because there's people who hate my laugh and people who love my laugh. And the people who love my laugh love bothering the people who hate my laugh.
I love your laugh.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? You're a comedian, so you get it.
Sure.
You know, like,
I appreciate any loud laughter.
Yeah. It's like you crave laughter. Yeah. So you meet my laugh and you're just like, this is awesome.
It's so good. So how long have you been dating this guy? How'd you meet? What's the deal?
I met him at a comedy show and I was picking on him in the audience. And I was like, who's single in here? And he was like,
slow,
you know,
clap.
Then I just tore him apart physically, you know. I was like, I'll tell you why you're single. You know,
hilarious.
You're bald, you got big ears, blah, 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 you know. And then afterwards, he came up to me and was like, what the hell? I was like, what the hell, what? He's like, you were making fun of me. I was like, so you're the only single guy in here. Like, it's not my fault, you know, that you're the third wheel of your friends.
How old is he?
He's 9 years older than me.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's bald and has big ears and skinny arms and a great ass.
No, I said, I don't need a great ass. It could be flabby, I said.
Oh, so he has a flabby ass.
He could, yeah.
That's so great. Yeah, I bought your ringtone just now.
No way.
Yep.
You know what is weird? I sell my ringtone, but I don't ever get paid from it. I don't know, like, if my, you know, some things you set up online, it like your credit cards start.
You never see the money again.
I don't know what it is.
Literally.
You know, because I'm sure at some point I punched in my credit card or PayPal or something, but then I'm just like, years go by, I've had that ringtone out. And I'm like, I don't think I get a penny from it.
Isn't that weird?
But like my electronic paperwork somehow just like fell through the cracks.
Hmm. Well, Glickman just donated $1.49 to iTunes on your behalf. So
I did.
They need the money.
I made it my text tone. So when people text
Holy
me,
shit. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the hatred that's going to come?
I think
it's
so.
It's going to be great.
Okay. Kate, you want to text me and see if it works?
Yeah. So how long have you been dating this guy? Sorry.
A few years now.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Do you guys live together?
Yep.
Oh, how's that?
Yeah, I've always lived off of the kindness of audience members at my comedy shows.
Shut up.
I would be fucking homeless if it wasn't for people I meet at comedy shows.
That is so funny. Huh.
But what else am I going to do? I mean, you know?
So tell me about this. So before him, are you like a serial monogamist? Do you always have a boyfriend? Or did you go through like a phase where you dated a lot? Oh, there's the ringtone. I just text Glickman, hi.
I can't believe you made it your text. That is crazy.
It's so great.
Usually people just assign it to my phone number so that when I call them.
No.
But text is so really ambitious.
That's it's gonna live as the text at least for a week. It'll be for this week.
I'm honored.
Hilarious.
Hey, right, we got nothing but love for you.
I love it. I want it. Can you send it to me? Because I don't have iTunes on my phone. Because I have an Android. How do I get this?
I don't know.
Send it to me. You know what?
I'll give Esther a dollar.
Get it.
She'll make more money
You're
off
fucked,
me than
Kate.
You. I am so fucked.
So what's the home like? What's the home situation like between you guys? What's your place like?
What do you mean? What's my place like?
What's the place like? You guys moved
it's
in
nice
together?
And clean.
Or
it's clean.
Did you move into his place, or did you guys move into? You moved into a new place together.
No, we moved into a new place together.
Yeah. Did you christen every room?
I got sage and burned sage because sage.
Not what I meant.
Oh.
Is so great.
Miss, I fuck porn stars in Vegas on my free time.
One time only. Wow. Oh my God. I should never have told this story.
I just ran into George Perez and he said you're like internet famous with this Waka Flocka twerking move that you did.
True.
It's fucking amazing.
Kate, you're becoming infamous. That's what it's all about.
As drunk white girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good credit.
That's what the title is on YouTube,
well,
Drunk
no,
White Girls?
No, what happened is I posted that video on my Instagram. That's the only place it ever went. And then Waka's people took it, which is fine because I told them they could. And they posted it on his page, but they didn't tag me in it. And then what happened is TMZ and World Star Hip Hop and all these fucking people picked it up. But when they posted it, they just wrote like Drunk White Girl, Crazy White Girl. So I am just known as the Crazy Drunk Rejected White Girl. In fact, the other day it popped up, someone tweeted at me, it's on some website about loyal husbands, it has like a million views, and it's like, see, this is proof that some men are loyal no matter what. And I'm like, what? He knew about it. We planned it.
Whoa.
Yeah,
mind blowing.
Anyway, it doesn't
matter. So when you did that, like, did you get past security? You just happened to be standing near Waka or what?
No, I was hosting the AVN Awards and it was backstage and he was the performer. So we were just working the same show together.
And you just handed your phone to somebody and said, videotape me right now.
Yeah, I gave my phone to Jen and I said to Waka, hey, let's make a funny video. I'm going to twerk on you.
Oh, you told him ahead of time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because it looked like that you just sprang up on him, which was great.
Right. I told him, I said, I'm going to run in the room and like twerk on you and you just act like I'm an idiot and leave. And that's what,
he was
did.
Perfect. Yeah.
He was great.
He took your direction really well.
Yeah, he did
great. I was like, poor Kate. He... just rejected her.
I mean, the funny thing is we made another video together a couple of days later, but nobody gives a fuck about that one. Like, we did another one with Russell Simmons and Slink Johnson, who plays Black Jesus on Comedy Central, where I run in a boardroom and they're having a meeting and I twerk on all of them. And it's funny, but because it was staged and people could tell that it was staged, because it's like, how would that happen twice? That one didn't really go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You have to think of a new thing now. You can't be the twerking drunk girl anymore. Yeah. What else can you do?
That's all I have.
No, you can.
We just pulled a big one two nights ago at the Improv. Yeah. That was ridiculous. I'm trying to follow in your footsteps.
Oh Jesus,
Gabe.
I don't know about that.
I swear to God,
your Andy Dick prank.
Yeah, it was so good.
Tell it.
The audience shit their pants.
What'd you do?
We had a basically sold out show Saturday night, 10 p.m. show that I produce here at the club, I did a monologue at the top of the show, and like, you know, current event monologue, and I did a joke about how Donald Trump just won like another primary type thing, and like this country is getting very close to becoming the Andy Dick of the planet. And when I said that, it got a big laugh, and Andy Dick stood up out of the audience and was like, "How dare you disrespect me?"
Did you know he was there?
I planted him.
Oh.
And then on my desk, on the desk on the show, I have a big jar of jelly beans, but it's breakaway glass from like the movies, you know, like
a
sugar
prop.
Glass.
Yep.
And so they don't know that. And so he comes up onto the stage, and then he makes me interview him because I'm apologizing, and the audience is like panicking.
Wow.
And it's great. And then he sits down on the couch, and I go to like interview him, and he goes, "Oh, can I have one of these jelly beans?" And I go, "Well, these are for the comedians." And he goes, "Well, I'm a comedian. Why can't I have one?" I'm like, of course you can have a jelly bean. He goes, "Oh, I can have one of your sweet jelly beans. Oh, thank you so much for one of your fucking, fuck you and your fucking jelly beans," and smashes it. And there's jelly beans and glass all over the stage now.
Magnificent.
And that was 5 minutes into like a 2-hour show.
It's so funny. It's
people
so funny.
Loved
now I want,
it.
Now I want jelly beans.
I know. I just kind of got
there's
hungry.
There's video of it.
I'm
and
starving.
The video's great.
It's so awesome. Where's it going
to
be?
I'm trying to figure out where to send it to. Like, who
put
to,
it on YouTube.
I probably put up
or send
YouTube.
It to TMZ.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
Send it to TMZ. I don't know.
Yeah, he has a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Do you?
Put it up on YouTube.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
I just started a new one just so that I have like my official name as my YouTube channel, because I have two other ones that are like stupid.
Me
you
too.
Know?
Oh. I have that too.
You know what I mean? Like, you made the mistake. Like, I called one of them Oldies Parodies because I do parody songs of oldies.
Oh, cool.
Like, I turned Twisting the Night Away into Fisting the Night Away.
Hilarious.
You know?
Oh my God,
big,
what?
Big Leroy Brown, Big Black Leroy Brown, the biggest dig you've seen in town. You know, stuff like that. So I do music videos.
I didn't know you were so dirty. I love it.
It's
yeah.
So great.
I'm really nasty.
You know,
the best.
We only have 3 minutes left, unfortunately. You're such
Whoa.
A great guest. This one's so fast.
My
but
God.
Before we get out of here, can you think of your worst date? Ever worst date fail, worst date story
in 3 minutes?
Well, you can just take longer. We'll just cut out Glickman's joke from earlier.
We can. It's fine. It's fine. Please do.
The worst date ever. God, I don't know. I've been on. When I lived in New York, like I was just such a broke, lonely comedian that I would just like go out with anybody who asked me out.
Did you ever go out with any other comedians?
No, I don't. No. I always like went out with like
homeless guys,
homeless
I do
audience.
That. Did you ever really date a homeless guy?
Well, I dated a guy who later on became homeless.
Shut
really?
Up. I
yeah.
did too.
Yeah, I heard about that.
How did he become homeless?
Well, he was like a weed dealer and, you know, and then I heard from people that he's basically homeless now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But he would give me, like, so he had a sausage business on the side to cover up his weed dealing business. So he would send me into comedy clubs in New York and with a sample pack of sausages and be like, "Can you give this to the owner? I'm trying to get my sausages sold in their club." And I would fucking do it because I was just like, but I was also still trying to get into the comedy clubs, like get past.
Yeah.
And here I am bringing sausage samples. Like,
that's a great
to,
way.
Trying to push sausage yeah. on them.
It's a great
terrific.
Way to get past at the yeah. improv. Show up with yeah. sausage.
Got a bunch of sausages.
I'm like, "You sell weed. Why don't you just give me weed? I'll just give the owner weed, you know?"
Yeah, that's a much
I
better
move. I love
that
move. You dated a drug dealer who ended up being homeless, because so did I, and yours dealt weed and so did mine. And all I remember thinking at the time is like, if you're going to deal drugs, can you at least step it the fuck up. Like, weed is like, you can basically get it for free here. Like, you can get it at Target practically in California.
Well, but New York, it's still illegal. So it was fine. Like, I felt like I was in like a movie. Like, oh my God, he sells drugs. I could get caught anytime. Like, it was exciting. You
like
know?
That. Wow. Yeah.
And, but then one time, the building next to his caught on fire in the middle of the night at like 3 a.m. And we lived in Park Slope. And all of a sudden, we just woke up to these flames outside the window. And he had like these huge Rubbermaid totes full of weed, and we had to get the fucking totes of weed out of his apartment into my apartment, which is like around the corner. So here we are, the firemen are all outside on 4th Avenue, the police are here, and we're just like in our pajamas carrying like weed. Those huge Rubbermaid, like, you know, purple blue
Holy
bins of weed
shit.
Over to my apartment trying to act like we're not doing anything.
Oh my God.
I'm sure if it was you and him, you guys would have got caught.
Oh yeah.
But you know,
I'd be in prison.
But because they were like,
yeah,
they saw
for
me.
Sure.
For weed.
Like,
that, the
because
worst
can you imagine like if his
for.
Apartment had blown up in flames?
Everyone would have been high.
Yeah. Yeah,
everybody would have been. It would have been a good day for the people in your neighborhood.
Park yeah. Slope would have opened some donut
I mean,
shops.
We should have just left it there.
That's a pretty good date fail. I have to say that
amazing.
Might be the best one. I really like that one.
That's you like
great.
It?
Yeah, it was
yeah,
a good one.
Thank
that's
you.
Good. Dude, you were such a good guest. I feel like, I'm sorry, because I feel like my porn star story
no,
took up.
No, I thought that was very fascinating.
Your
I've never gone out with a porn star.
It's an important story.
It's important.
Yeah, it's important.
It's important.
And I'm glad we talked about it, even if I was... here that's fine
I'm glad
that's
too I'm gonna get therapy this week to sort it out. Well, Esther, you're amazing. Quickman, I missed you.
I missed you too, and I will see you soon in a few episodes. I'll be back, and we'll be hanging out again soon.
We'll be kicking it. Esther, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Esther Cuckoo, and I will be at Harrah's Casino in Atlantic City March 3rd. Come on out.
Yeah.
And you could also find me on my podcast called Coup and the Gang.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
Is that the one you do with do you do that with the co-host? Is it Thomas Dale, or was that just one episode?
No, that was just one episode.
Oh,
he
okay.
was my guest.
I heard it was great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's so hilarious. Great.
Glickman.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephen Glickman, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Glickman. And if you're in Los Angeles or Southern California, come on down to the nighttime show here at the Hollywood Improv, March 19th at 10 p.m. Fireball whiskey shots for everybody on
Fireball.
You guys can find me at Kate Q Funny, and I'll be at the San Jose Improv March 18th and 19th. So look for me there. You can get tickets at deathsquad.com. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye.
Peace.